Alaska, which is a 12-hour flight from London, Heathrow. And then we flew one time from 18 hours, I think it was, 17, 18 hours from Atlanta to Johannesburg. And you can't get off and walk around because it's ocean between you, and so you have to, it's nonstop because there's nowhere to stop. But anyway, we've enjoyed our travels and doing that kind of work. We're blessed in the United States in many ways concerning the church, and so the fluency of Christians and such as that. And I remember real quickly before I start, in Mark chapter 10, Peter is speaking to Jesus, and he says in verse 28, he said, "See, we have left all and followed you," as the apostles were talking to Jesus. And Jesus, you know, when you go international and you go in difficult areas of the United States, the gospel seems to come more to life or light in the sense that these scriptures now are applicable in a special way. For example, in verse 30 or 29, Jesus said back to the apostles, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution in the age to come, eternal life." When you travel like we do and you're guest in people's home, we've actually been to homes that they have never seen us before. We've been referred from others. And one place was in Moscow, Idaho, which is 8 miles from Washington State University. And I remember Larry and Stephanie Jones are brethren there in that congregation of about 25 in the total of the congregation. 7 hours across the mountain is another group we work with called Payette, Idaho. But anyway, my point is they took us in their house and took us to the master bedroom. They said, "This is where you'll be sleeping." That's what Jesus was talking about. When you become a Christian, you'll receive a hundredfold. It says houses, brothers, sisters. That, not your name on a deed of land. That wasn't what Jesus was talking about. But he's talking about that we would receive brethren from all over the earth of like precious faith like we have. And I'm telling you, the brethren are amazing wherever you go on the earth. It's just like you've known them all your life. And I've worshiped with a Zulu. I've worshiped with a Xhosa. I've worshiped with different languages, Belize. I'm going to let you hear some of their singing in their language. And so, but anyway, it's amazing what they do. And I promise you, whenever you worship with them, every place I've ever been on the earth, it's just like here. Because if you got the same book, it's going to be the same worship. And so, I'm going to start this and show you. This is, now, George Gonzalez here is my interpreter. And he's sitting down, but I'm speaking to a small group. This couple that went with us last year to Belize, see, Paul and Robin Clifton. Paul serves as an elder in Kaysville, Utah. In the entire state of Utah, they have one congregation. Entire state, and it's larger than Alabama. And so Paul and Robin rendezvoused with Dinah and I in Atlanta, and we went to Belize together. They're going back in August with Bobby Graham. Some of you know Bobby and Karen. And then we're going in next month, in about a month, we're going back to Belize with Mike and Delaine Merritt. Mike preaches at Pulaski, Tennessee. And some may know Mike. But anyway, this is, I'll just show you a little bit of how. I don't even take a tie, don't take a jacket or anything to Belize. None of the brethren wear it, and there's no need for us. We don't want to intimidate with our clothes. Dinah's real conscious about her jewelry. Wear very little jewelry there because you want them to focus on the gospel and none upon you. And but anyway, let's let you hear some of this. Get this started. Did I do it right? Probably didn't. Okay, now I think it's loaded. here. Oh, he's got it. Okay.
To remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead.
Le dicen, recuerda a Jesucristo resucitado de entre los muertos.
Some at Corinth.
Algunos de Corinto.
That Jesus was raised from the dead.
No creyeron que Jesús había resucitado de entre los muertos.
And Paul said to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 13,
en 1 Corintios 15, versículo 13,
that if there's no resurrection of the dead,
que si no hay resurrección de entre los muertos,
not even Christ has been raised.
Tampoco Jesús resucitó.
In Jerusalem, the Sadducees denied the resurrection.
Entre los judíos de Jerusalén había un grupo de saduceos que no creían en la resurrección.
But the Pharisees acknowledged the resurrection.
Pero los fariseos sí lo aceptaban.
And one way that I keep them apart or separate.
Una manera como yo mantengo estos dos grupos separados.
If there was no resurrection,
si no hay una resurrección,
it would be sad, you see.
Entonces.
Okay. Anyway, you can see how it is. You have to get used to it. I remember Mike Merritt. Some of you know Mike. And I knew it was going to be this way. When you first preach with a interpreter, it's different. You say, you notice how I do it. I get used to it. And then you say a couple of sentences and then you stop. And if you're not used to it, you'll start taking off and you'll leave the interpreter. You got to stop and let him do the interpreting. But anyway, let me go to the next one. Let's see. Can you do that or do I do? Okay.
You see, God wants us to believe.
Okay. That's that couple from Utah. You see, the elder and his wife, Paul and Robin Cliff. Well, right here, let me get my pointer. Thank you. All right. Now, we'll stop just a minute. Let me tell a little history on this one. This man right here, and Shane is not a Christian, but he and that's his wife there, Sharon. This is Paul and Robin Clifton, the couple that went with us from Kaysville, Utah. And John, right here, about 70% of these brethren came out of the Catholic Church. They're first-generation Christians. They're real. You have to be real careful when you go there and who goes there, because they're real susceptible to false doctrine. I mean, you see, they're babes in Christ. And you have to... It's just fundamental. In fact, we're going to meet, and some of their Bible studies now are hours and hours and hours long. Not, you know, like an hour and then you quit. We're talking about 5 and 6 hours, and that's how they study the Bible. When we go, we sort of collapse the time frames, and we are with those brethren like that. But anyway, John is now a Christian. He was the assistant to the assistant prime minister of the entire country of Belize. He was, but that's Catholic, the country is. And so when he became a Christian, he lost his job. Because, you know, it's sort of what Jesus said, you know, talked about it. And so, you know, you can't be a Christian and be in the government. And that's what happened. But they've hit the ground running, and so he's really an asset. But a little bit about his baptism. John Arthur Jr., I call him. Bobby Graham and I know him well. Fine young gospel preacher. He's in Florida College right now. And so, anyway, he came in before went to Florida College. And so he came in and his dad said, "Son, I got somewhere we got to go right now." And it was about 11 o'clock at night. And so he said, "Okay." And so he goes down to the river and he baptizes him. But the crocodiles feed at night. And they're in the river. But they both, you know, the providence of God takes care of things. I said something to Dana Whistler, and I said, you know, the crocs feed at night. And he said, we hadn't lost anybody yet. So, anyway, that's true, you know. Okay, let's go ahead and okay, let me go ahead and I'm going to stop that. And I'm going to tell a little bit of history on this man. His name is Andreas. He's sort of like the patriarch of this group at San Narciso in the village. San Narciso. And so Andreas, I didn't know that, he never let any of us know, but I got the news through Abraham. I contacted Bobby Graham and Paul Clifton and a couple other individuals. And we found out that Andreas had prostate cancer. And so Mexico now is flourishing compared to Belize. Belize is the third world. And so Mexico has the best hospitals and those kind of things, but they have to have money. And so he didn't ask us. We found out about it, and we made sure he got the surgery. He's fine. He's doing well. When I went down there, you'll see in this video, and he's going to talk to you. And he talked to me later on the phone. He had gallbladder, had set up gangrene, had emergency run in there and do it again. He would have died within 2 or 3 days. We was able to take care of that, but he's never asked us for anything. And the thing about it is, he's saying, why would an American help a poor Belizean? Why? Why would you help a poor Belizean? I said, Andreas, you're my brother. And I'm telling you, that's, all right, you go ahead, you can play it now. You'll know a little bit of history about what's going on.
And it's January the 30th of 2016.
I see.
Andreas has had surgery just recently. He's our brother in Christ. Do you want to say anything, Andreas? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I speak?
Yes, you speak.
Okay, hello, brother. My brothers in Christ, thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much that we believe in one God.
Yes.
I am feeling better daily by day. So I appreciate so much all of you. To me, it's so special that how God describes his children. Very precious to him.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
you can cut it, man. All right, go to the next one. Okay, but he told me separate of that about helping. All right, now this one here. Now we're going up to another village. I'm having a Bible study before you start. I'm having a Bible study. It lasts from 10 to 3. 10 o'clock to 3. And this is part of it. And the ladies are out under a porch. You'll see them in a little bit. Anyway, with their study. Anyway, this is me with the men. Now, bear in mind they came out of the Catholic Church. So it's some of these questions, you know, that's just really elementary. But hey, they're Christians. Okay.
And they, like Abraham said, they should have known, because they had been exposed to the old law, the Old Testament, that kind of thing. But here's a writer, he said, look, you ought to be teachers by now, but you still need milk concerning the first principle. Now, it appears to me the first principle...
Abraham. Oh, it cut the sound off when I talk, right? Yeah. But anyway, this right here is Abraham, and this right here is a man named Frankie. He's just recently married. This man here has been a Christian about a year. Okay. Anyway, we can go on to the next video if you want to, and then they want to have another one of those long studies when we get back on Saturday. Okay, go ahead. That's it.
Hello, may one God is our God.
This is a group at San Narciso, about 30 miles up the road from Orange Walk Town, the one you just like. That's only two congregations I know in Belize. Dana and Carol Whistler was instrumental in starting this. Now, you see this lady right here, okay, this is her child here. And they're so poor, and she would always invite us. Every time we go there, she wants us to come and eat a meal. And her income was about $50 a month now. And so she would save up money because we couldn't drink the water. You get sick. And so she bought a 2-liter Coke. And I remember Mike and Delane was with him. Mike said, I don't want to pull money out and give it to her. And I said, you can't do that. You'll destroy her hospitality. Now, she was so poor that she nursed her little girl I showed you there till she was 4 years old because she did not have money to buy food. So she had to nurse her and kept her alive. And so her husband, she had 10 children. Her husband ran off with a woman up in Mexico. So she's real faithful. This one that you're seeing that was leading the song, you know, standing up there, that's one of her sons. She's really done a great job with her children. And Balbino's her name. And so, I want to do this before we go on to the next one. And she, Greg Whipple, Greg was an atheist teaching science up in Rhode Island. Jeff Smelcher, if you know Jeff Smelcher, some of it. He taught Greg the truth. Greg's now a gospel preacher. He lived 10 years in Belize. He's now in Florida. But he brought me this letter one trip, and it's a letter from Balbino. Don't tell her this, but I want to read it to you, if that's okay. Okay, this is from her. She did not have money for a stamp, so she sent it by Greg. And this is a letter from her. We help her, Dinah and I do. She never knows where the money comes from. We as individuals, we help her. But she doesn't know that. We don't want her to know where the money comes from because we want her to be focused on the gospel and not us. Okay, this is how it reads. This is one of her hard times after her husband had left her. This was in 2011. Hello, Brother Alton and Dinah. Thanks for your letter. We sent her a letter. I feel good when you brothers from far come and visit us. It is a great encouragement for me and my family. I have stopped working the work. She pick up sticks, and she was working at the lunchroom. And she would cook chicken, and they would throw the necks away, and she'd bring those necks home and feed her children, necks of the chicken. She said, I've stopped working. The work that was going on has finished. Things here in Belize every day are getting worse. I am looking for a job, but nothing, not have found. Sometimes it's hard for me, but I thought, I trust in God. I will find a job. He will not leave me alone. I need your prayers. These trials are hard for me, hard but not impossible. But I give thanks to God that we are not sick. Hopefully you are doing good. And your family, you and your wife, are in my prayers and in my heart. I think that things happen for many reasons. Sometimes we are not obeying God how he wants. I personally ask myself, why? Me, why? Why does these things happen to me? Am I doing the things correct and trials that Satan is giving me? I am trying hard not to fall. I pray day and night. I want to be a good example for my kids. A good mother when they don't have a father is hard, believe me, when they are asking, where is Dad? Sometimes I don't know what to say. Anyway, if you think of it, keep her in your prayers. Okay, we can go to the next one. Okay. All right, now Abraham's my interpreter there at San Narciso. Oops.
This is
doing it.
Y le dicen, pero sabes, papá, sabes, mamá, todos lo están haciendo.
Why can't I wear this?
¿Y por qué yo no puedo poner esto?
Why can't I go here?
¿Por qué no puedo ir aquí?
Oh, well, I cut it off. But anyway, when I do this, Abraham do this. You notice my interpreter. Okay, he's good. He's a really, he came out of the Catholic Church too. Okay, but I just wanted to show you what it's like preaching there. Okay, we can go to the next one. Before you start it, this is a cane field. Now, the number one cash crop in northern Belize is cane. Their average income is about $400 a month per family. And so what they do, you notice they got part of the canes cut, and there's a truck here. We'll show you a video in a minute. See the other canes? They set the cane field on fire to burn that grit around the cane, the base of the cane, and to run the snakes out. And you run the snakes out, and you run them over into the green over there. And then you can gather the cane here without... Makes sense. They figure things out. Okay, we can play it now. Okay, I'll stop now, and that's the only highway in northern Belize. That's the highway, and so that's the way they go. Okay, we can go to the next one. Okay, they're taking the sugar cane to the factory. Anyway, they run that factory. It's down at Orange Walk. Okay, we can go to the next one. Now this right here is in Moscow, Idaho. This is on a Saturday morning. We had a little gathering. This is a small group of Christians there that was started by three couples back in the early 70s. They were going to college there. You have Idaho University, and then 8 miles from there you have Washington State University in the state of Washington. And so we're with this couple here. Now we'll be with three groups in that September of this year. We'll be with this group, but we'll be with as a small group of Christians in St. Mary's, Idaho, which is up towards Coeur d'Alene, up towards Canada. And you come back, and then we'll be with this group. Then we drive 7 hours across the mountains, and we'll be with Payette. Let me tell you just a little bit, because we're going to show about Payette. When I was preaching in Payette, now this happened about, you remember when the CEO from Chick-fil-A a few years ago said that marriage should be between a man and woman? You probably remember that. Okay, so they asked me to do the specific lessons, and one of the lessons was concerning homosexuality and marriage under attack and that kind of thing. So I prepared a lesson and I presented it. Started at Payette. This young couple came into the audience about right after we just started. Nobody knew them. They'd send out flyers, you know, about the gospel meeting and the names of the lessons and the titles of the lesson. And so this young couple, late 20s, came in, and I started in my lesson, and I was dealing in Genesis 19, I guess, with the homosexuality, sin of homosexuality, you know, about Sodom. He stands up. He's about where Alton is. But sitting a little bit further back than Alton there. But he stands up and starts yelling at me in the middle of my lesson. Now, I'm just telling you that because it'll probably head this way. Where you'll be challenged with the political incorrectness of homosexuality, abortion, those kind of things, where it's challenged, challenge. He stood up and he yelled and he said, "You're not preaching the gospel of Jesus, you're preaching hate." That's what he said. And so here I am preaching, and he's really sort of, it just startled me first, taking over. Now, what do you do? Well, I'm, you know, and he said, the gospel of Jesus is peace, joy, and love, which it is, but it's not limited to that. And he said, you're preaching hate. He said, I've experienced some of that. That's, I don't know what he meant by that. I guess he meant he had some family that were homosexual. And so I was going to try to get him quiet. About that time, Ron Rasmussen, the regular preacher, he stood up and he put his finger, he pointed, he said, you let this man respond to you. And now, have you ever seen assemblies like this? I mean, I thought I was going to have a debate right there. He said, you let this man respond to your accusation. And he said, no, he didn't want that. He told his wife, said, let's go. Of course, he slammed the door and went out. But I thought, well, he might be back tomorrow night. I asked Ron, and I said, do you think I'll be put in jail tomorrow night? Because we're 1 mile from Oregon, extremely liberal. They interpret the law different there than we do here. And so, but he didn't ever show up. So that's coming this way. Okay, go ahead. When you go out this door right here, and when I walked up on the porch, they got a cattle watering trough, galvanized watering trough. Had it turned upside down. I asked Larry, I said, what's that? And he said, that's our baptistry. He said, when someone's baptized, we just pick it up and tote it inside. And he said, if it's in summertime, we run a hose out the window. So that's how it works. I mean, it's a portable baptistry, you know. So, okay, we can go to the next one. Okay, let before you do, this is traveling back from Moscow to Payette, and I don't know, 400 miles, takes a pretty good day's journey, but beautiful scenery, and across these mountains, and okay, go ahead, I just want to show you some of the scenery.
U.S. Highway 95, between Grangeville and Riggins, Idaho.
Salmon River.
Salmon River, September the 26th, 2016.
Okay, you can go to the next one. I think I got a view looking back over where we came from. We've seen mountains like that too. Okay. This is some of the scenery, isn't it? We just came up through there. Isn't that beautiful? Those are the mountains we just crossed in the background. Okay, you can go to the next one. I just wanted you to see some of that, what God has done. I imagine Apostle Paul seen a lot of beautiful country, don't you, Theory? Now, this here's the church building at Payette. They bought it from a denomination, but this is the building there. Ron Rasmussen. Ron Rasmussen's son serves as an elder, I believe it's in Fayette, Georgia. He was with air controlman, and Ron Rasmussen's son, mother-in-law, attends Gooch Lane. Okay, you can go ahead.
Church building at Payette, September the 27th, 2016.
Okay, you can go ahead. Let's go to the next one. All right, let me tell a little bit of history. This is Ed Bryant. His daddy was Choice Bryant. Do you remember Choice Bryant, preacher in Texas? Pretty well known. He and Dee Bowman, some of them are real good friends. Ed is Ed's son is one of the elders in Kaysville, Utah. Okay.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen.
Job. And he had a surgery here about a month ago, 10% survival, and he made it. It was on his heart. So I hope to see him again in September. He lost his wife a month ago, then he had surgery. Now this here is just a little bit of me preaching, then we'll show a little bit. Okay.
It's not about the preacher. What it means to preach Jesus, notice what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter. In New King James Version, he said, but we have this treasure. And that treasure there in that context is talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, we, including himself, as an apostle, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Well, what's an earthen vessel? An earthen vessel is someone that holds the treasure. Notice as he continues, that the excellence of the...
Okay, that's good. Anyway, I use the example like an earthen vessel is like a flower pot, you know, it holds earth. And the emphasis is not on the flower pot, but on the beautiful rose that comes up out of it. That's the gospel, you know. So anyway, let's see. Another one, is that it? That's it? Okay, all right. I was trying to keep our timing down, but you can see a little bit about what we do. I don't have the video from South Africa. I haven't went in a long. It's been a few years since 11, I believe. Since my leg started swelling and my ankle swelled, and some of you made those international flights. Belize is sort of a piece of cake compared to South Africa. When we go to South Africa, it was 32 hours from the time we left Huntsville Airport till we got to Cape Town. Then I'd start preaching just a few hours, and it was really, really something. But I'll tell you a little bit on our journey. It's about an 8-hour flight across over to England, and then it's a 10-hour layover, and then it's 12 hours from there down to Cape Town. Well, so Dinah and I, if you ever lay down and go to sleep, boy, you really messed up. You got to get your mind, you got to get your body on their time. And so we would try to go to these different castles. And so one of the last castle I guess we went to was Hampton Court. Hampton Court was one of Henry VIII's castles. But we knew Henry VIII, you know, he's the one that started the Church of England. And because he wanted all these wives, and the Catholic Church said no, and so he just started his own church. And so we go down to Hampton Court, and it's where Henry VIII lived in the early 1500s. And I didn't know this, but in the early 1600s is where King James lived when they translated the Bible into the King James Version. I thought that's sort of neat to be at the very place where we had the translation. Okay, you want me to offer invitation? Okay, it may be that someone's here this evening that's not a Christian, and you must, you know, these people, we showed you these people in the poor parts of the world, I know they're looking so much forward to going to heaven, and this little boy, he came up to me, the last trip was in Belize, and he said, let me ask you something. He said, is it true in America when you put your shovel in the ground and you pull it up, it's full of silver? Someone had told him that every shovel full would be full of silver, but I told him, no, that's not true. But it's the same gospel there as it is here. And Jesus died the same death for them as he did for us. And so you cannot buy your way into heaven with silver or gold. 1 Peter chapter 1, it's through the precious blood of the grace of God and the blood of Jesus. So if you have a need of the gospel anyway this afternoon, you have an opportunity that God extends to you. And we bid you to come as we stand and sing.